I asked both my grandpas for some help because I got stuck. So when we were at lunch, I asked my daddy, or Dean Cruz, what should I do tonight? Because he used to be a preacher. He's got all this stuff rambling in his head, you know, he's up in the age. So he knows what he's talking about. And he says, Nolan, if you had 20 years left to live, would you be a faithful servant to God? Would you do this to the best of your capability, or would you live in fear of death? Would you live in fear that if you die, you're going to be going to hell? Would you serve God half-heartedly, just trying to go to heaven? And I started thinking, well, I have no idea. I started thinking about what Bible verses I'm going to go to, and then my papa chimed in, or Cal Augard, and he goes, you know, I once was in Sherry's once, and I saw a sign up on the wall, and it said, how good do I have to be to go to heaven? So I went online and I looked up exactly that, and I found an outline for that. So this is what my lesson's on tonight. It's going to be on how good does one have to be to go to heaven. And it's going to be three kind of separate steps that we can understand just biblical truths that are in the Bible. And the first one is no human is perfect, but God is. That's obvious. And we're going to read about that in two different verses. We're going to read about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. I'm going to be jumping around. It's going to be single verses, so you can just listen if you'd like to. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, it reads, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. That's pretty easy to understand. In Romans chapter 3, 23 also, it reads, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Those both are very easy to understand. No one's perfect. God is. So without the help of God, I don't see how we're going to get to heaven. And so for a lot of people, it's really hard to understand how somebody can be so good out in the world, they can be the most humble, most kind, caring person, and then not make it to heaven. And the analogy they have here in the outline is pretty cool. So imagine you have 100 swimmers divided up into equal groups of 25. You have 25 weak swimmers. You have 25 lazy swimmers. You have 25 strong swimmers. Then you have 25 Olympic swimmers. Okay, and they're about to swim across the Pacific Ocean to reach the end goal, which is somewhere, but it's with God. Okay. In the beginning, everyone gets in the ocean, and they start swimming. The weak swimmers are the first ones to drown. They just can't make it. They fall short. Then the lazy swimmers, they get out there, they're floating along, stuff just starts happening, and they drown. The strong swimmers, they try their hardest, but they can't give it everything they got, and they drown. But the Olympic swimmers, even the ones who study their hardest, they commit their lives to it, they still fall short. They never make it to the end goal. So, the analogy they use here is that Jesus is like a bridge. Makes it quite easy for us to get over that ocean. So, it's pretty obvious what the solution is to our problem. If our problem is, how do we get to heaven? How good do I have to be to get to heaven? The answer is, you're never going to be good enough. You're not. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. That's why God sent Jesus. So the second part that we need to realize is that sin is what separates us from God. It's what makes us not perfect. When you read about how it separates us from God, and my pages are backwards. There we go. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. It reads, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. When we sin, we all know this, when we sin, we put up a barrier between us and our God. And the only way for us to tear that down is through Jesus. And so the key to the whole problem, the answer, the whole solution to the problem is Jesus. And we read about what Jesus did for us in so many verses, but the verses I chose tonight come from the book of Titus. One from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. It reads, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Another verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it reads, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So then you ask the question, could anyone else have died on that cross for all of our sins? No. We all know that. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. So, if someone asks you, how good do I have to be? You say, you'll never be good enough. You say, you're going to need Jesus, and you just always say, Jesus is the way. It's just, everyone always says that. Or, you can use biblical verse, and the best verse that I found to use to answer the question, how good does one have to be to get to heaven? And you say, you can't be good enough. You go to John chapter 14, verse 6. And that one verse reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So there's your answer. That's my invitation. If you're struggling, if you feel that you're falling short, it's okay. We all fall short. We're not perfect. We all know that. But you need to have God in your life. You need to have prayer in your life. You need to know that because God sent His Son, we have the chance of getting to heaven with our Lord. Always be thankful for that.